And we are back. Black and a Half, episode number 232. My name is Silas Lindenstein.
My name is Samantha Rund.
And this is the longest running comedy podcast in Seattle. Probably. Today's episode, Samantha, we start off on a dark hole.
We sure do.
On a dark hole, in a dark hole. I didn't think so. I thought we start with dark humor, ended up with, I think, fuzzy humor. Warm, happy, yeah, happy smiles.
The warm, fuzzy, minus, you know, with the hint of cremation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like one does.
Yeah.
Ugh. So we go through a journey. We bring you through a journey today. And yeah, for those of you, if you're starting in a darker place today, this is probably the perfect episode because we'll bring you out of that and discuss Samantha's, not stolen identity, but stolen material. We talk about some material. We share that exchange between authors and fans, what's right, what's wrong. We talk about gallows humor, of course.
Text quandaries and etiquette, as well as potential polls.
I think a really good discussion on texting and the generational divides.
Yeah.
You're not Gen X, are you? Aren't you below that?
I love that I never tell you how old I am, I guess, because I feel like you think I'm younger than I am, and I'm just going to let it.
I just don't think we're the same age. We can't be the same age.
No, we're not the same age, but also.
I don't even know if we're in the, generationally.
You know, fine. I can't ever tell.
You can keep that secret with all of your other deep, dark secrets or the mystery age. Anyway, so that's it. It's a fun episode. I think you're going to enjoy it. Please remember, subscribe, share, tell your friends, tell your family, tell anyone you care about to tune into Black and a Half. And so sit back, relax, open your hearts and open your ear holes and listen to Black and a Half, episode number 232. I almost feel like at this point I should have a t-shirt of the week thing because I'm always wearing some different weird shirt.
Yeah.
It's Banana Squad this week, supporting my daughter's running banana soccer team for the last many years. I started getting stuff to embarrass her, you know, like banana shirt. I had banana socks, just different.
Did it actually work? Or was it like,
rolled her eyes at me. Wasn't so much embarrassed as in like feeling sorry for me. I think it's goofy. I look forward, and of course Willow's young enough that she like thinks it's embarrassing but then tells everybody because she thinks it's so funny. You can tell.
Oh, that's cute.
I did find out last night. My daughter definitely thinks I'm funnier than she lets on because I found out her like best friend thinks I'm hilarious because
your older daughter.
Yeah.
Okay.
Her best friend thinks I'm hilarious because she's told her things that I say.
Uh-huh.
And she's only sharing it because she thinks it's funny. Cuz I guess I told her when I was coaching her soccer team, we were like doing one-on-one and like we would always like go against each other.
Uh-huh.
And she was like, she was trying to talk trash to me that she was going to beat me.
Uh-huh.
I said, I'm going to beat you so bad you're going to call CPS.
Oh, and no.
Apparently I forget about this, but the whole soccer team just busted up laughing. Like they loved our antics going at it. And Gretchen heard that one last night. She's like, you said that in front of kid? You can't say that.
I mean, yeah, that could have gone very badly, but
that's we were on the field at the time.
Not your vibe.
And she was fouling me. So.
It's a solid burn, but it's a hard one to, it's hard to stomach as a mom here.
Yeah.
Like, that kind of joke is like, ooh.
When they're 17, it's different. Because I wouldn't have done that to I wouldn't have done that to my 9-year-old. Okay. She wouldn't have got that.
Yeah. Then they'd go to class, raise their hand. What's CPS?
Yeah. Ooh. No. The 17-year-old, I feel safer with edgy jokes like that.
Mm-hmm.
And now she's 18. So now she can just call the police. Not that.
Yeah.
Now I can call adult protective services on her.
That's something.
That's a thing. Yeah. That is a thing.
That's something. That's,
it's meant for elderly, but my daughter keeps calling me old. So
I just have I don't have really sense of humor about, like, it's going to tank my mood so fast. Just the subject matter. I'm sorry. I'm not your audience for this.
I'm not, you know, that's because you're not old like me. And once you hit this age in 30 years or so.
Oh, right. Yeah. Gonna,
you'll get it. You had an interesting thing, though, that's happened that you wanted. I wasn't sure when you had posted about it. I wasn't sure if you'd want to talk about it.
Yeah. So because I normally don't want to talk about anything.
Messaged it.
Oh, really? But, oh, thanks. Because I thought maybe I bothered you when I text you and I was like, this could be a topic. And you were like, okay. Okays are so hard for me to get over text. I often think that when somebody texts okay, I often think that they're annoyed.
You know what I've learned? One thing I've learned, it's a generational thing.
Huh.
Because when I started texting,
yeah,
you were charged per text.
Okay.
And so there's a habit I have of being super quick of I got one shot at this, so I go quick. It was.
And I over type on my text sometimes because I don't want things to be misunderstood. Of course, sometimes they probably are because that's human nature. But there's just something about okay without a thumbs up or a smiley face or some sort of emoji after it that I'm usually like, ooh, they're busy. I annoyed them.
There's sometimes you know the thumbs up on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
I have a hard time with it because sometimes I'm like, I feel like when I did it, it felt sarcastic. And it wasn't sarcastic. They're like, this was like a, oh no, that's not a sarcastic one. That's just a.
There's not enough.
Agreeing.
I feel like there's not enough choices on there because sometimes too, like with the caring one, it's like, oh, but then people might think you feel sorry for them, but you just want to give them it's more like a hug or like a, I don't know. Anyway.
Me, sometimes when I reply okay on a text, it is to show the person I cared at all. Like, because my thought is I read it and I go, sounds good.
Yeah.
I don't even think I need to respond.
Yeah.
That's a solid idea. That's a solid thing. And I'm like, and I'm in my head, I'm like, yeah, sounds good. But I've learned I have to reply to these.
I need to try to remember this. I need to. Yeah. I
you
want
need to remember your neurodivergent co-host.
Yeah. And also just other people in my life too. Cause like my mom, also let's talk about this the whole time and never get to the top, which is totally funny. Yeah. It's fine. I know we'll get to it, but it's just funny to me. It's like an interesting segue, right? Like, listeners, please tell us what for you on your texts make you go, or misunderstandings or fun things there. Yeah. Let us know. I love the comments. Keep them happy. Okay. Anyway,
you're about to out your mom.
Oh yeah. Well, it's not really. I don't know if it's who's it's outing.
Is it a generational thing? I didn't know.
I don't know. It's just sometimes I'll text her either or questions. Like, hey, mom, I can come get you at 11 o'clock tomorrow. We can come get you and then we can go do XYZ. Or if you're, you know, maybe a little bit busy, not feeling up to it, we can change it for another time. Let me know. It sounds good. And she'll text me back and say, okay.
Yeah, you lost. Like, yeah, okay, that was too much. That wasn't an either or.
No, mine was an either or. It was.
You had a whole lot there.
But
besides the or,
there were two.
You had a simple. You can do this one, or you can do this, which and there's an explanation behind it.
Yeah.
Well, that's not either or.
No, either way, we can agree that it's not an okay. It's not an okay.
I don't know.
Because that's what will happen. I'll text like two questions. And yes, it's rambly oftentimes. But, to get her, like, this is what I'm thinking. I'm thinking you may be tired. You may be busy. So if you need to, if you need to change the plans, it's fine. I understand. So I'm either way, I'm okay. But I just need to know what I should plan on. So do you want this or do you want that?
Right.
And then when I get back and okay, then like the next day I'll like check in at like, 10 o'clock or say, hey, did you still want me to swing by at 11 or 12? Well, I texted okay. And I was like, yeah, but.
Okay. Think of this.
Okay to what?
Think of it as a real conversation. This is what I'm thinking. Cause I actually feel like I've done this with my wife. Say, hey, we can leave today at 2:30, and we'll beat the traffic, or we can go 6:30 after traffic.
And yeah.
She'll go, okay.
Yeah.
But she didn't answer which one to do.
Right. But then you know that you're going to get an answer before she expects you to leave. I mean, before you're expected to leave, you know you're going to get an answer. Like, that's what I'm saying is, like, I would expect to get what the answer is before I'm expected at her place at 11.
I'll go with that. But I'm just saying I've asked what I've thought was either or questions and gotten, okay, sounds good.
I could see that, though, in the way that you set it up.
I could almost probably find a text, not from her, but I feel like I get that. I will get that often from people and go,
when you say it out loud, I do see what you're saying. I think it's more like how she sometimes sounds a little bit befuddled that I'm like, hey, so did you still want me to come at 11 today? And she's like, yeah, I said, okay. And I'm like, yeah, but I said, do you want to do this or do you want to do this? So if you say, okay, I don't know what you're saying. Okay, too. Anyway, Mom, are you listening to this?
I'm not saying I do this.
Yeah,
I might do this a little, but I know sometimes people, they read the first part of the text and then they stop reading it.
Yeah,
that's like, the day
sending long messages.
They're just looking for the info. They go 11:30. Okay, yeah, okay. I know I've answered a question that I did not see the next part of the question. I'm like, oh,
yeah.
I guess that would have made a difference if I finished reading what you said, but. Texting is, of course, one of the worst things to happen to us. Like, communication wise, it's just so hard. You should only be able to text like an address, or you should be able to reply. You should be able to like vote yes or no.
That's a fun idea. Hey, tech industry people, partner with us. Give us the cut for this great idea that people.
Yeah, it's. It causes so much the hesitation people have to just pick up the phone to call when you're trying to work. There's nothing more frustrating to me than trying to work out plans.
Uh-huh.
And it takes like 30 minutes when you could have just called and worked it out real fast. Like, can we just call?
Yeah.
Can we just call?
Yeah.
Just pick it up the phone.
Okay, here we go, Silas. We're going to have to figure this out.
We
podcasts.
Imagine Lionel Richie.
You just see real fast. We're gonna have to figure this out. So,
okay. What? You're calling me?
No, hey Silas. No.
This will mess up my recording. I can't. Never mind.
Never mind. No.
It messes with my recorder.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
No.
I just thought.
I'm just thinking. I want to do a Lionel Richie version of Hello. But it's all by text.
Oh.
Hello? So it says, hello? Is it me you're looking for? And then just waiting for the replies. Oh, God. that could be comedy gold right there.
Comedy gold.
I might shoot this later.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Side note, I just started watching Jury Duty on Amazon Prime.
I haven't heard of it.
You're supposed to be boycotting Amazon, huh? But I was watching Amazon.
There was one day, I think.
There's like an ongoing one or something, but I don't know. I did on the day we weren't supposed to. That was easy. I don't go on. It's not like I'm ordering stuff all the time. So I was like, definitely don't order on this day. And I would go support mom and pops more often, which I should. But just schedule and time-wise, I'm... Anyway, blah, blah, blah. I definitely stay away from some of the ones that I'm supposed to stay away from, but yeah. Amazon's harder since it will bring it to you. Yes, clearly.
And anyway, let me say, you know my hardest thing about boycotts before we get to, besides the way we do them now are completely, I don't think they're effective at all. You like, you have to not shop at a place. Like you have to not shop. I will not buy this certain type of pasta. Like that kind of one works.
I think it does help to not go to certain stores though.
Well, yeah. Like I don't go to Hobby Lobby, right? I won't go there, but like there's some that I don't like this one day boycotts. Cause I'm like, they're just going to go the next day.
I think the one day that's the one where I'm like, oh, just this sort of season in life, which is at first when I heard people say season in life was so revolutionary to me. Because I would just have the same expectations of myself all of the time as if I were some sort of machine. I think a lot of us have those expectations of ourselves. And so the idea of a season of life, I'm like, oh, that's so interesting. Like right now in this season of life, it is unrealistic for me not to do Amazon. Can I stay away from some of the other places? Yeah, I absolutely can. And I do. But I will say I do have a couple of gift cards that I need to use. So if you see me walking into one of those places, I say I'm going to boycott. Well, I can't because I need my card. But
I
layers to that. Well, it's like if you're going to go like research the companies, at least if you do have to go there, like try to support the companies that are supporting the things you support.
Yeah. I think the hard part for me has been when I've gone out of my way to try to not buy something at Amazon. And I go to the local places and they don't have the thing, or they try to sell me on something that's not what I want. And I know it's not better because partly like the employee doesn't know.
Yeah.
They're just saying talking points and, or just not being able to find it. I remember driving around all day trying to find a piece of podcasting equipment. Until I finally just went online and bought it from Amazon because I knew where to get it.
You tried.
I know, but I'm like, I spent so much time trying to support a local business and y'all not carrying this stuff.
It's a layered thing.
It's complicated. Nothing. The biggest problem with aging, every week, this is my new segment too. My problem with aging this week is seeing the multiple layers of problems. Like I do remember, God, I miss being 20 and there being black and white. Everything seemed much more black and white, like being able to choose. And the older you get and you're like, well, we shouldn't do that. But, you know, there is something to think about. It's hard. That's the hardest part.
That's true. With great power comes great responsibility. With great age comes great wisdom. Unless if you're going to turn into one of those idiots that is older and dumber and ruining lots of things for lots of people.
Yeah.
But we're not going to talk about them right now. It's so hard to not just get sucked back into that void of talking about them. But anyway, whoever this them is,
You had something happen.
Yeah.
To you.
Yeah. It was weird. I will say it was weird because like a week before this happened, I will get to the point, I promise, but I was watching one of my favorite minimal moms that I like to follow on YouTube. And she was talking about like one of these issues that she was having where people were stealing her material, like her scripts, everything. And even making thumbnails that looked like her thumbnails on these faceless YouTube videos. A lot of faceless channels are stealing material from other people. And then she was saying how hard it was to actually get it taken down and how frustrating it was because of her time and experience and life experience. And she wrote it and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, wow, that really sucks. That is tough. And then randomly, every now and again, I wonder if other people do this. If it's just actors or comics or real estate agents or like who else does this. But every now and again, I will do Google searches on myself because I'm curious what potential clients would see. And before becoming an agent, I was curious what casting directors would see. And then also just for my own curiosity, it's like, oh, what's out here right now? Also, if you check on different devices, it's interesting what pops up, like that it can be different from, I guess, algorithm or whatever, blah, blah, blah. But I was actually, I think I was, might have been on YouTube and searched my name randomly. And when my kid wasn't sleeping, he's like trying to stay awake. I'm like, let me see. And I scrolled down for a bit and then I saw a cartoon of, excuse me, but it wasn't me. You know, like they didn't make it look exactly like me. And they stole my set, like about 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes or so of a set that I did in California. And it was my voice, my jokes, everything. Like there were no edits. It was my material, but they made a cartoon version of me. And they also wrote hashtag not funny. And I didn't know what I was more upset about. Like at first I was kind of like, oh, somebody like made a cartoon of me. That's kind of interesting. And then I was like, yeah, my comedy. And then I saw it said hashtag not funny. I'm like, how dare they? Even though I know clearly like I would want to improve upon this. Are you looking right. for?
Yeah, I'm looking for the video. Yeah.
Oh, it's probably taken down by now. Hopefully.
I think it is.
Good. So, okay, we'll get to that part later. But I was also so mad because I'm like, so many of the jokes were solid. Like I said, I would improve upon the set. There were some parts that I was like, I'd do that better now. That was years ago. But they didn't even give me credit. And then I was really pissed and I posted on Facebook that I was mad and, you know, what the F, I just saw this, blah, blah, blah. And they didn't give me credit. And then when I went back to the video, cause I was trying to figure out like, who the heck is this person?
Yeah.
I went back to the video. And then when I clicked on the notes, whatever the heck it is, you know, on YouTube, I clicked on the notes with the video and it actually did say my name. So I was like, oh, okay, well, they gave me credit, but they didn't get my permission. They said I wasn't funny and that's not nice. And so I edited my Facebook post then to say that it was without my permission because I didn't want to lie in my post. Anyway, the other thing, which, you know what, you know, I don't like to share much of my personal life, but I will share this because I have talked to my ex about this and this is a little bit funny. In my Facebook post, I was also sure to say it was a cartoon by somebody I did not know. Because when I first saw it, it actually looked like the type of style of cartoon that my ex did when he would make his animation.
That's exactly what I wondered when you posted it.
Yeah. And it wasn't him. And also when he saw the post on it as well. And then he actually emailed me to be like, hey, is this the video? And he's like, that's messed up. I reported it. And I was like, thank you. I reported it too. So they should take it down. And then he also acknowledged, he's like, yeah, it's weird because it did look like one of my cartoons. And I'm like, right, that's what I was thinking, but it wasn't.
Could have been someone setting them up.
That would be weird. I mean,
do you know how long it had been up?
I took a screenshot on my phone. Because
it should say how many years it's been up or something.
Let me see. I might have it in here.
Because I'd be curious if it was
so weird because like
eight months ago.
It's weird because like it made me feel like, wow, violate and like all these different things. And then I was also like, see, I was supposed to be famous. Look at what people are doing. And I'm not even famous. Imagine if I had my Netflix special up or something. Right. Imagine the parodies that could be done. But
so
another thing, at least you're not making money off of it because that with that one, and it's A to Zen Life. That's the one of the people that I keep referring to. One of these minimal moms I like to follow on YouTube, A to Zen Life. Like that's even more frustrating for her because, you know, she makes money off of her channel and then the people stealing from her, they're making money off of it. And at least in this one, there was no money. There was no issue of money.
No monetization? You sure?
Yeah. Okay. He doesn't, I'm assuming it's a he. They don't have enough views to be monetized.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I had something when I first started doing stand-up, a little similar in, I went down to perform in Olympia for a show. And one of the people there, another comic, really, they liked me. They liked my set. And then, like a few weeks later, they were also a cartoonist. And they drew a little like 5-6 panel comic of me performing my material and putting my, like, some of my joke in there. Like, it wasn't like the whole joke, but it was kind of my joke. But I'm like, there was no spin on it. And I forget if they, I think they tagged me in even on it, but I was like, it was a drawing of me and it was my joke. And I wanted to go.
They should have asked you.
I didn't know what to do about it. Cause I was like, kind of like, I don't, that's my material. Why are you? But I think they thought of it. I think they thought of it as
fan art.
I like this person. And then this is me. Yeah. Doing fan art probably. It was like something, but I felt really weird about it. Like I didn't like that they did it, but I was also so new to the game that I didn't know if I was going to be, I was afraid to say something, like, and I didn't want to look like a whiny snot for saying don't take my material. But now
it is weird because it's like, when is something fan art and when is it them kind of stealing your stuff? And
that's what I felt like. I was like, I think you're using my, come up with something.
Yeah.
Spin on it. It's kind of like I posted in a real estate forum how what I do for my closings a lot of times is I have a big giant Magic the Gathering card that the people pose in. And somebody said, oh my gosh, it was a thread with people sharing what they do. And that's what they're like, and they messaged me and said, oh my God, I love this. I want to do this for my clients who are big gaming fans.
Yeah.
Where did you get this printed? And I'm like, well, it's my idea. Like, it's my thing. I don't think you should do it unless it's your thing. She's like, well, you know, I'm just asking for your help. You know, it'd be nice to do a little solid for somebody else. And this industry.
That's really, that is tough.
And like, I just blocked her.
Yeah.
It's because I'm like, you're trying to steal my idea. And someone pointed out, well, they could still just steal your idea.
Right.
They said maybe you should have it made for them. And then, you know, so that you charge them for the printing and everything of it, which maybe I could have done. But I was like, I was more just like, no, come up with your own stuff. I don't have much going for me. I don't do all the other stuff most agents do. The only thing I have is my creativity in being unique about me. And so if you start taking my ideas, then I have nothing. So don't take my ideas. I'm a little different now I'm a little actually more okay with people stealing my ideas now because I realize one of my most valuable tools is that I can come up with something else, so I don't worry that much if something gets taken or just if something ends up being also parallel thinking or whatever happens.
Right.
I'm a little more chill about that, but so I don't know if I would react. I still would have said no to them.
It's such a tough,
because it's not like following the
it's a very nuanced topic, because I always feel like the things people post in like, I think I know the group you're talking about, and I see their ideas and I'm thinking, oh great, like people just take all whatever ideas up there, people will probably just take it.
But most are lame, right? They're just like, oh, it's a key, oh cool. All right, they're not that cool. I'm the only one with that doing that,
right?
It was a spin on other things. And so I was kind of like, I was really proud of that, and I didn't know why someone wanted to take the idea that they didn't think of.
So I would imagine that they, I'm just, this is just me thinking about the way that those posts go, I would imagine that if I wanted to keep any something to myself for other people not to take, I wouldn't put it in that group because I would imagine people would see it and be like, I like that. I want to do it.
Well, now like, I get that.
I thought it was sharing and taking.
I thought it was more like helping people brainstorm. Like, see what I did? Now, what's something unique to you that you could do?
That does make sense. I mean, that would be a good...
That's where my brain went. You
know, yeah, yeah.
So now I don't share on there.
Yeah.
I only share in private networking groups that I'm like, mm-hmm. that I know they're not stealing my idea or stuff because they're in different fields or whatever.
Or at least if they did like a twist on it, not just take it exactly, right?
I was just also the nerve. I was like, man, if you're going to just steal it, then I don't know. Maybe they thought they were doing the polite thing by asking me
where'd you get it from. Somebody to ask me first.
Yeah, but they were like, they weren't asking me permission to do it.
Yeah,
I forget. I have to find the. I blocked them, so I can't find it. But I feel like I said I'd rather you didn't do that.
Right.
I feel like I said like, it's my idea. I would rather you not do that.
Yeah.
Unless you paid me, I guess maybe. Like, you know how you can buy a joke from somebody?
Yeah, actually, that's a really good idea. Like, people do have, like, their templates and stuff for sale, too. If you sold the template of it, although yeah. I don't know if you could sell it because you took it from something that existed, right? Like, you...
Well, you, I made up... It's a parody to begin right. with, right? And so I just made it look like one, similar, right?
Right.
It's not exact. But if no, I'm just thinking like, I could sell you the right to this idea. At least you can feel good about it that you like. I did, actually last week I said to somebody, I would love to buy that joke. I would like to buy that joke. And they were like, well, it's actually a twist on a joke that they read offline. So online. So it's not their original joke. And I'm like, oh, OK.
What is it?
What was it? It was, they said when they, cause they like to climb the stairs, that's their exercise.
Uh-huh.
And they said when they die, they want to be scattered on stairs like this. They do not want to be cremated.
Ew. Like,
yeah. Scatter their body all.
That's just so gross.
Yeah. But it was so funny.
Ew.
I just thought it was so funny. I'm not delivering it. I'm not saying it correctly for one, but I was like, there could be a good delivery there. A really good delivery. And I was like, I like that.
Well, it's just so gory.
Yeah, well, you know what? You're very visual. Gretchen has this problem too.
Yeah, no, it's not a problem. It's a gift. But it is
as black
at times.
You have the same issue as black Gretchen.
What?
You as black Gretchen have the same issue.
Love me some white Gretchens.
I once told her about the. I was telling her about the plot of this. Now it's an opera, but it was a movie called Repo Men. Where you repossessed like organs, right? They would go, and it was kind of like a comedy.
Yeah.
And she was so like appalled by this concept. It's a really good movie. Jude Law is in it, and Forrest Whitaker, I believe. I think it's Forrest Whitaker. It's a satire sort of on the medical system and how they do it. This idea that they might repo your for not paying your bill, repossess your kidney.
Yeah.
Right. She was so grossed out by it. Just like you are. See, like.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, this. Okay. She's a little, oh, she can handle me.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, that movie, maybe if I saw it, but just also the way that you set it up on the heels of that gory.
That's not even that gory of a joke. You know what it is? When I was a kid, I read Mad Magazine, and they would always have these like these stupid jokes about like you going up to a toll booth and says toll 20 feet ahead, and they get there and hand them a sack of feet, right? Like a bunch of feet in it. It's a cartoon. It wasn't drawn gory. It was just a play on that. Or
no, I get it. It's just still gross.
Toll ahead. There was always like every few months there would be one of them. Like they would do something like that, and I always just found them funny. So I don't even like horror that really.
I mean, yeah, I don't like gory stuff or horror stuff. I mean, I have written some stuff that was like, there was this one thing that I wrote. I still think it was solid, but it was disturbing. And it was in college. And I remember when I read it to one of my roommates and she was like, are you okay? And I was like, what's like, what? I'm like, it was a really well-written piece. It was super dark, but like really well-written. But we were also studying the Greeks then in theater. And then so in my screenwriting class, I think some of that like seeped on over, you know what I mean? Into my writing, because I do remember after I read like the summary or whatever, that everybody in my screenwriting class, they all just kind of like stopped and looked at me and they're like, we don't get it. You are so nice and so sweet. And this is so disturbing. And I was like, what? Like, what's wrong with it? It's just like this hunter who goes and he kills a deer and then he comes home and his wife and there's blood and blah, blah. And it was disturbing, but I still stand by that. It was really well written. And I don't think that I would have written something like that if I wasn't studying the Greeks right then.
There's some disgusting stuff in those Greek tragedies.
Yeah, it really is. And it's different. It's different, I think, sometimes telling a joke than hearing it. Just what you're saying in terms of the visualizing. Because you're telling the story. You were telling this joke.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking of like, oh, I'm just hearing it. But then when you say not cremated, it's like, wait, what would that mean? That means this. That looks like this. That's so disgusting. Like,
because you add blood to it right away. I just have body parts.
That's so disgusting. What? And after how many days would that be? After all the carrion and the vultures and the deranged squirrels and.
That's because you're using imagination in here.
Yeah,
you know, it's not the whole thing. You got to think like
holy water up in here.
A cartoon version of it, a sanitized Disney version of
Disney version. I don't know, man. I was watching the SNL 50th year anniversary or whatever, and actually I am gonna have to probably fast forward through some of the physical comedy that was getting too gory with like the decapitations and stuff like that.
Oh, were they?
It's just
what was that French horror movement, live theater movement, La Cage des Folles? No, that's not it. There was something about French horror. There was a time when it, I think it might have been 1700s or something, where the whole goal was to make it as over the top as necessary, like just squirting blood, right? Like it was just a whole movement in French theater.
Well, here's the thing.
It's like, classics. Okay, Samantha, the classics.
Are you queasy in general?
Like, look, a needle. Yes. There's a needle involved. Ugh. I don't like guts. I don't like that kind of stuff. I get grossed out about that. Liquids in general. Yeah. So I like I said, I don't really watch horror I watch it like this, but I appreciate a good horror comedy.
I mean, the Monty Python and the Holy Grail with that one knight. I remember that being funny, but
to bring out your dead, or
I don't know, that one knight that kept on getting like chopped and was bleeding too much.
Oh yeah. Not dead yet.
That's so gross. But like, I mean, then I think I'd laugh. Now it might gross me out too much. I don't know. I'm just really sensitive about that stuff.
And that's always been a thing.
Except
when you write it.
I don't know that I would would write stuff like that anymore. Yeah, like now in general, I'm more sensitive about stuff in general after being a mom and after having like surgery. Like I'm more sensitive to like certain things I don't watch that I used to watch. Yeah. But I've always been queasy to the point that like I remember I had such a crush on this guy who was going to med school, and it wound up not being a thing between us. But I remember somebody telling me, they were like, yeah, it's a really, or did I even say it laughing? I don't remember. That's like, it's a good thing it didn't work out, because if he would come home and tell me about his day, I'd probably just end up fainting. Right. Like I just, like once when I was shaving my leg in the shower, I nicked myself, but I didn't realize I nicked myself, and I saw like a stream of blood and I almost fainted. Like just seeing, like, I'm just not a, and then when I play doctors on TV and stuff, aw, that's nice. But when I played doctors before, like I'm making it sound like I was in Grey's Anatomy or something. No, not yet. But like, is it still even on? Who knows? I can't watch my doctor shows anymore. I'm too queasy to watch my doctor stuff now. But anyway, that might change in the future. But anyway, they were like, my mom or somebody was like, Samantha, like, you got to get over this if you're going to be playing your doctors and doing that. I'm like, yeah, well, then I'll know. Okay, other fun fact, my theater teacher in high school, for Halloween, he was showing us some like stage. This would not be allowed now. Like, why were high schoolers always into the most gory things and gross things? He was showing how for Halloween, you could do like a fake blood patch. And he put it on his wrist. This is why I'm saying this should not have been allowed. And so we saw what he did and the blood. And even though I saw the whole application and everything, the second that we were supposed to imagine it, I got like super grossed out and in physical pain. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I get it. I do get it. There's things that I can't, like, I can't watch ER. There's certain topics. I have trouble with topics now. Not even as much emotional or what I'm seeing. My kids, like, it's funny. I'll just sit there and tell them we're watching wrestling. And I'm like, this is not, they're pretending. This is stunt work. They're not really happening. And they're still like, ah! Like they're scared. I'm like, these are actors. There's no real the bloodline. These are all, they're actually best friends. And they just won't, like, they still get wrapped up in it. They almost like they don't believe
me. They're like the perfect audience.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for I think part of it for me with the doctor's stuff is before I had to get a surgery, I always identified with the doctors. I never identified with any patients.
Oh,
and then after I had to get a surgery, I think it flipped that a little bit. And I just can't watch the shows. So at some point, hopefully it'll flip back to me just watching it and thinking like a doctor again, you know?
Yeah. I don't think I've probably never gotten booked as a doctor. So that'll be. So I'm always feel like the patient.
Let's make our own show.
Let's record
an improv show so that we don't have to rehearse our lines. I think we were talking about at one point, but
I'm going to be getting Invisalign because it's so funny. It's like the journey of self-confidence, right? My whole life being self-conscious about my teeth. And then like to where that was one of the reasons I wasn't trying to get an agent. I was like, I can't do TV because of my mouth and I don't want to get all fake teeth or whatever, and I didn't want to have to miss anything for having braces for like 3 years or whatever it would take. Like that was my assumption. It's going to take 3 years and then I won't be able to do plays or anything because I can't, because nobody will hire me, even though I wasn't like doing the theater anyway. So but I was still worried about it. And then I'm like, I'm too old to have braces or whatever.
Haven't you seen Ugly Betty? That show is old and she's not ugly.
Yeah. Well, and so then when I got my agent here in Seattle and I said something, told them about the teeth, they're like, no, you're fine. No, there's nothing. And they're like, what? Oh, they brought up like an actor with messed up teeth. And I'm like, That doesn't make me feel better. He's bald too.
Bald guys look good sometimes.
Yeah, but with bad teeth too. But anyway, I was like, you know, they're like, oh, comedically. And I was like, oh, okay. And then I asked some people on set for when I did that Bartels commercial. And they're like, no, it's great. You know, it doesn't matter because we're looking for people that are different, you know? And I was like, oh, okay. And like, I finally hit a spot in my life that I felt like, yeah, actually, I think I'm feeling okay with this.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly I got, I discovered with how the place I go for the dentist, it's way cheaper than it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And with my insurance. And I was like, oh, I can actually do this. I can afford this. But now I'm comfortable.
Yeah.
So then I haven't done it. And then I haven't been getting some bookings lately. And I've started been thinking about like, well, who am I? What am I going to get booked in? And it finally come to the point that I was like, you know what? I'm okay with it. I don't need this. But it might help me get a couple bookings. Because as much as they don't care, you know, there's definitely more available. It opens up more available if you've got the perfect teeth look that they want. It doesn't stand out. So I'm going to do it, but more for there is a medical reason why I can do it. It might help down the road, not cause an injury, but I've always been self-conscious of it. And some jerk on Facebook made fun of me. And I didn't like that. I didn't like that there's something a stranger could grab about me that I'm actually like self-conscious about.
Yeah, because if you didn't, then you'd be like, F them. But if you are self-conscious, then
Or like if I'm like, because if they made fun of like my nose or my eyes and stuff.
Or yeah.
My wrinkles. Oh, look. Yeah. And if I get a little tightening job there.
I could probably use, honestly, some Invisalign or something on the bottom. But the thing is, I have all of my wisdom teeth. So it squished my teeth together on the bottom.
Yeah.
So.
But nobody can see your bottom of your teeth.
I mean, if it's a really big close up, I think now that I've told people, whoever's listening will notice. But if people
it'd be hard. That would be a very particular shot, though. Like it's really the upper.
I can see it. I can see it. But then you know what? Keanu Reeves' teeth are all messed up. His bottom teeth. I wonder if he has all his wisdom teeth.
I don't think bottoms matter as much. Like well, for most yeah. were. Unless you were literally doing a Colgate commercial.
Maybe. Well, I don't think I didn't do a Colgate commercial, but I did. Oh, no, I did a Sensodyne commercial.
Oh,
I did. So it doesn't matter. But it wasn't a huge, huge one because it was just like through BuzzFeed when I was in California. But There was like a big like brushing teeth whole thing. But I think, yeah, you didn't notice my bottom teeth as much. I just notice it because it's me. Same like I think like for your teeth, I don't. Think that they're I personally don't think it's keeping you from any work, but
I gotta blame something besides my acting.
Yeah, it's other people's turns. It's somebody else's turn, you know. Actually that I was listening to it, just like popped up, the Julia Louise Dreyfus Women Wiser Than Me podcast, and she was interviewing Carol Burnett, and that was something I heard her say yesterday, and I was like, oh, that's beautiful. When she would, if she didn't get something, and she would think, well, you know what? It's their turn. Next will be mine. I wish I always had that much grace when it comes to acting stuff, which I did not. It is hard. But now I will be implementing that whenever it is that I ever finally get to audition for things ever again.
But part of it is I did not get a 1099 last year for acting.
Did you get a W-2?
No, it's the first time in like 7 years I did not book anything in 2024.
Me neither.
You had life things going on.
Yeah, I know.
That makes sense. If you're not available, you're not. I'm available.
I actually very surprisingly and very happily and unexpectedly got a residual check. Oh, otherwise, it would have been my first year without any acting income at all. So can we do this improv like thing together, please?
Because that'll be money.
So did I tell you? So it doesn't have, maybe it will be. you know, but maybe it won't and we'll just have a wonderful time. So did you watch Jury Duty yet?
No, I don't know what it is.
Okay, did I mention it, but then glossed over it?
You started saying it about when you started talking about Amazon Prime.
A friend of mine mentioned it because I was like, I want to find like another fun, like something light to watch and show. And she said, hey, have you watched Jury Duty? It has one season, 6 episodes, and then they're going to come out with season 2. And it's so good. It's okay. They're like 25 minute episodes. But anyway, I don't think this will give much away. Yes. So it's called Jury Duty. Basically, it goes to talk about the experience of a trial, but through the jury's perspective. And so, you know, get a bunch of different random people together to be do jury selection and do the jury process. But the thing is, the twist is, it's completely improvised, or they are all improvisers. So I think it's improvised. I don't know what kind of structure it is. They're all actors, and except for one person who thinks that they're actually in a real jury.
Oh, I might have heard about this.
It is so good. It is so good and so funny and messed up, but like, it's really interesting. And it's hard for me to, like, I haven't gotten to the last episode yet. So I'm really curious for the one actual juror, what is his experience going to be? And how the heck did they keep that information from him the whole time?
Do you remember the reality show that did that?
Uh-uh.
It was like it was a reality show contest with like 20 people or 12 people. But there was only one person on there was not in on it. The rest of it was scripted.
Oh my gosh. Like I want to find, okay, so I'm going to finish this last episode, but I really want to know, like, what was that guy's experience?
Oh, there's a lot about it because I think it messed him up a little bit.
Well, that was the thing I'm wondering about. It's like, what was his experience? And then also, how is he going to feel? And is he going to feel like betrayal trauma or any, even though it was like a fun experience? Also because, I don't want to give anything away.
It was called The Real Joe, I believe. I believe it was called
The Real Joe. I put it in my phone so I could look it up later. Because I want to talk more about the show, but I don't want to give anything away.
How many episodes?
It's only 6.
Is it funny?
Yes.
I could probably manage it then.
Okay. Yeah.
I'll check it out. I'll see if the first episode interests me all.
So I was also wondering, I'm like, well, if there's the guy there who is thinks he's having the real experience, then I'm like, wait, they probably, when they're taping it, they wouldn't be able to stop and do retakes. And then also, wow, those improvisers are so good, because when some of this outrageous stuff is being done or said by the other people, they're all like having straight faces and acting like 100% regular humans.
Yeah.
With their oddities and whatnot, because, you know, they're all different types of humans. Mm-hmm. And that's awesome.
It's brilliant. But
maybe, I wonder, like, I'd like to see the process, because maybe they did crack and they did redo it, but because they are filming it like a documentary or something, you know, that could give them the liberty.
Hey, could you redo that? Could you just redo that real quick? Could you?
I mean, that could give them the liberty to be like, oh, we couldn't hear that because you guys were laughing. Like, let's just, again, for the documentary, do this bit.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm so curious. And that's just, okay. So I know I'm going on like a long, long thing right here, but there's so many, listening to Carol Burnett talk about just, well, she's 90 or something right now. And she sounds she's still so like vibrant and full of life and happy and energetic. And then
lucid.
Yes. And Dick Van Dyke too, right? He's up there, but something about having that, like that joy of comedy and doing something that you love, bringing other people laughter, and just, you know, all these times that I think, oh, I'm done with acting. How could I possibly ever get back into creativity again? But then hearing like, doing these things that light you up, like just keep doing it because it lights you up. It's going to make you live longer. Do it in a healthy way that works for you. And so seeing Jury Duty and thinking about how much fun they probably had working on it, and the big range of people in it and the different range and how they looked and stuff, it's like, oh, there's not like a, you don't have to get Invisalign unless if you want to. We don't have to be 21.
Yeah.
We don't have, you know, there's these possibilities. And then also hearing Carol Burnett had to do her own show too. Like, yeah, not Carol Burnett show, but to get her agent, she couldn't get anything and any agent until like she had to create something herself. And anyway, it got me a little bit fired up. I'm like, yeah, let's do stuff ourselves. Let's, with all of our infinite time, we will at some point.
We will. Kids go to school one day. And
it's like the double-edged thing that I like parents get. It's like yay and boo and ah, and all of the feels.
Yeah. Go to school. go bananas.
Can I tell one really cute story?
Yeah, it's your time limit.
Okay. Well, so I was bringing Olivia to one of her classes, and I said her name. Oh my goodness. I was bringing my toddler to one of her classes, and so when I was bending down to, like, you know, talk to her, have a good day, da, 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 there was another little girl that was close to her in the, you know, lined up next to her, and she started touching my coat, the other little girl, and so I turned around and I said, hi, how are you? And Olivia this was like, no, that's my mommy. And like, she pulled me tight and she pushed the other little girl, not hard, just enough to like get some distance between her and me. And she was like, that's my mommy. And I'm like, I know I'm your mommy, sweetie. I love you. And give her a kiss. And then she's like all smiles. And it was so adorable because I was just kind of musing. I was thinking, I wonder what it's like for her to have me as a mom. I wonder what she thinks of me. Like, I wonder what her experience is. And I was thinking of that earlier. And then in the same day, like probably half an hour after I had that thought, this is what happened. And it just gave me the warm fuzzies. I was like, sweet. It was so sweet.
And see, isn't it great? We brought this episode from a dark place in the beginning to a warm, joyful happiness.
Yeah, thanks. I completely forgot about the beginning.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah.
So get sad now.
Well, yeah, there's time for that.
Now bring up the memory.
No, I'm holding on to this one.
Okay. Hold on to it.
Yeah.
Black and a half.